help us to commence with hymn 285. Oh, for a heart to seek my God, encouraged by his gracious word, to view my Saviour all complete and lie submissive at his feet. 285.
Thank you. Let us read together in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40, the 40th chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, for all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him, in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, they're counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our soul's profit, and teach us now to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do condescend to look upon this little company of poor needy sinners this night. For Lord, we come as such, for in and of ourselves we are destitute of all that is good. Within us, that is within our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And Lord, we come as such, pleading with thee, that thou remember us in mercy. For Lord, thou knowest how we've gathered this night, the burden of our hearts, the concerns that we have, the insufficiency that we feel, the troubles and trials that thy dear people know. Lord, do condescend to meet with souls this night in this corner of thy vineyard, and may thy word go forth in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. For Lord, as we've gathered before thee now, some from the busy scenes of life, Lord, as we've gathered now, we pray that thou will deliver us each from all the carnal intruding cares of time and sense, those things, Lord, that we have to confess so often crowd in upon our minds, even when there is that desire to truly worship thee. O Lord, do appear for us this night. Deliver us, Lord, from all these intruding cares, and shut us into thyself, and draw near to us, we beseech thee, and make thy mighty power known, and may we be enabled to feed by faith upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, leave us not to rest short or to be deceived. For Lord, thou knowest our great need. And Lord, we're aware of that solemn truth, we trust, that out of Christ, God is a consuming fire. Oh, may the solemn reality of it, Lord, be sealed in our hearts this night. And oh, may the effect of it, as wrought by the dear Holy Spirit, draw forth real desires from our poor hearts, that thou wilt come this night and speak into our poor hearts, that we might hear from thee. Unworthy though we are, destitute though we feel, insufficient we feel to be, but Lord, oh, do come over, oh, the mountains, those obstacles, Lord, that obstruct the way, and do visit our souls this night in mercy. Lord, thou knowest how we come. Lord, thou knowest where our hearts have been this day. Lord, thou knowest those places that we have been, the company that we have kept. Lord, thou seest and knowest it all. And oh, thou knowest how the things of time and sense seem to carnalize our hearts. And Lord, oh, we pray that thou wilt come and soften our hearts this night. And may the word be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And Lord, that something might be accomplished in our poor, needy souls, may it be done for eternity. For Lord, we would not gather in vain, for the time is short. Our little lives are fast ebbing away. Eternity is before us, and Lord, we know not when that call will come, even the youngest here. But Lord, may it be our great, our chief concern, to know that we are found in Christ, that we are eternally safe, bought with a price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed from hell and prepared for glory. Lord, these are great things we ask, and thou knowest how oftentimes we are so often full of fears, unbelief. Lord, knowing much of the temptation of the enemy to our souls, Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt separate us now from ourselves and all that is of the creature. And oh, might it please thee that our hearts may be drawn heavenward, that we may be, those hearts may be fixed upon the person of thy beloved Son. Oh, that we may be brought to that blessed place where the psalmist was brought. My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. Lord, it's where we desire to be. For Lord, what are the dying things of this world to us? Lord, our vanity of vanity. All is vanity. And Lord, oh, that the state of our never dying souls and where we shall spend eternity, Lord, is it not the chief concern in the idea, exercise people? Lord, as they hunger and thirst after divine realities, cannot be satisfied with the husks that the swine do eat. Lord, they long to be partakers of Christ, partakers of those blessings which are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, those unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, we believe thy dear people have a title to them. Oh, gracious God, do enable us to read our title clear to mansions in the skies, that we may view the person and work of the dear Lord Jesus, and what he has done by precious living faith this night. And Lord, we pray that, oh, our interest in that great work of salvation might be sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, these are great things we ask. We are undeserving of them. But Lord, we come with that only plea which poor sinners can come before thee with. We would plead the precious blood, the righteousness of the dear Redeemer for our acceptance. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us now in all our various pathways, and thou alone knowest each one and each case. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and suit the word. May it enter into poor sinners' hearts, and may something be done to thine honour and thy glory and the spiritual profit of our never-dying souls. Lord, we long for it. Oh, do come and break the bread of life to our souls this night. Thou knowest, Lord, the sick and the afflicted ones amongst us. Thou knowest, Lord, those who carry bodies full of infirmities. Lord, thou knowest each and every case. Lord, we pray that, oh, that we might know that healing balm of Gilead applied to our poor hearts, to those who feel the plague of sin and unbelief. Nothing else can deliver a poor needy soul. And thou knowest those needy souls this night. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and visit us with thy salvation. Lord, we pray for the dear young people and seek that thou remember them in much mercy and those not here this night. Lord, if it could please thee, oh, do quicken them into divine life in their youthful days. They each may be brought into a solemn exercise and concern as to the state of their never-dying souls. Implant within them thy fear. Grant to them, Lord, that tender spirit. And may they be found true seekers after thee. Lord, enable them to plead that precious word, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Lord, may there be found amongst these dear young people those who find thee to the joy and rejoicing of their souls. Lord, we pray for those older in life and seek that thou wilt work in this place, and oh, might there be those added to this church, such as shall be saved. Thou knowest those souls that are truly exercised, burdened, concerned regarding these things. Lord, we pray that thou wilt set their souls at liberty. And oh, may they know the liberty of the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, delivering them from that burden of sin, of guilt, and delivering them in a measure from the power of sin in their poor hearts. And oh, may enable them that precious grain of faith be brought into exercise to seek to lay hold of Christ and to believe in him and what he has done. We pray for the deacons here. Remember them each in much mercy. Sustain and uphold them as they carry the responsibility of this cause of truth. And Lord, their own cases, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to them the desires of their heart. One away at this time, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him where he is, and bring him and his dear one back in peace and in safety in the time appointed. And Lord, we pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. We pray that thou grant to each one thy gracious help. But Lord, we pray, oh, as we feel our insufficiency and spiritual poverty and ignorance, do come and be everything to us. For Lord, our need is great, and the needs of the people are great. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and work this night, and thy name shall have all, thou shalt have the glory and the praise. Lord, we pray for Zion, thy one church. Thou knowest the solemn state in Zion, our own little group of churches, oh, the desolation. How she languisheth. Lord, thy dear people know it. They feel it in their own hearts, languishing, feeling to have little life, oftentimes, hardness of heart. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come and appear in mercy. Separate us from our sins, we pray, that have cause thee to hide thy face, and come, if it could please thee, and turn Zion's captivity. Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Lord, the work and the power is thine. Lord, we pray for a thankful heart, for all thy mercies and favours and blessings. How kind and gracious thou art. For, Lord, we do not deserve anything from thy hand, but, oh, the mercies that come in one continual stream, moment by moment, to poor, hell-deserving sinners. Lord, we pray for a truly thankful heart. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, do come and open our hearts. Lord, open the hearts of each one and prepare them to receive the word. And Lord, oh, that there might be a blessing in this place, this night, for many souls, if it could please thee. Do pardon now all our many, many sins. Wash us in the precious fountain of thy blood, that we may be clean as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Thank you.
word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 27. The 27th verse of the 40th chapter in Isaiah's prophecy. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? We have in this sweet and blessed chapter many words of comfort to the Lord's tried and tempted people. For the Lord knows the hearts of each one of his children. He knows the burden that they carry, the exercises that they have, the troubles they feel within their poor sinful hearts. And we find here a sweet and blessed word of comfort to these tried and tempted souls. Now let us be clear, first of all. Comfort, spiritual comfort, is not for those who have a comfortable religion. That is one upon which flows from themselves, one in which they're satisfied with and content with. No, my dear friend, comfort is for the distressed. Distressed souls know the value of comfort. You see, it's Nay's words of comfort are not recorded here to build up one in a fleshly religion, enabling to presume that they are amongst the Lord's living family. I believe it's the tried ones, those who wonder whether there's ever a good work of grace in their hearts. Those who tried under the power and evil of their own hearts. Those who find their hearts so weak, unable to keep themselves. These souls the Lord speaks words of comfort to. The opening chapter, the opening verse contains this. And a command to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And how is he to comfort them? To speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What does that mean, beloved friend? We have the glorious truths of the gospel contained in this verse. The work of the dear Lord Jesus, what he accomplished whilst here below, as he stood in the room and place of each one of his dear people. Because you see, the only comfort that a child of God knows in their own heart flows from Christ, flows from that great work of salvation which he accomplished for each one of his dear people. And oh, what blessed words these are. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. that her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It speaks of the victorious Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered sin, that sin which so troubles and exercises your poor heart, as you feel the weight of it, as you feel the power of it, the ensnaring influences of it. Her warfare is accomplished. That poor troubled soul will be brought safely home to glory at last, despite all their fears, those castings down, those times when they feel so desolate, so miserable. The Lord's living family, the Lord has conquered sin, death, hell and the grave for his dear people, and their iniquity, those sins which are many, are all forgiven. Their iniquity, her iniquity is pardoned. Or is it that which you long for, beloved friend, tonight? To know that those sins which are many are all forgiven thee? Well, beloved friend, there's only one place to look, and there's only one source of that blessing, and that is the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For if you and I are amongst the Lord's living family, and we have been raised up to a hope in God's mercy, and that we have a testimony in our own heart, that the Lord has a favour toward us. Well, my dear friend, that glorious work of salvation was accomplished at Calvary. The work was finished there. The sins of the whole election of grace were put away there, and poor sinners reconciled to a holy, holy God. Her iniquity is pardoned. The work is done. God's wrath pacified. And each one of his dear people are viewed perfect and complete in him. My dear friend, you say, how can that be? I'm such a wretched sinner that I feel to be so burdened with guilt and shame. Well, dear friend, the Lord, in his mercy, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is teaching you and me of what we are by nature, and to realize that that great work of salvation is ours, not because we merit it, but it is of God's free and sovereign grace, bestowed upon unworthy sinners. Her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Oh, there's a glorious sufficiency in the dear Lord Jesus. It was a perfect sacrifice. His precious blood was efficacious. God demanded nothing less, but nothing more, that the dear Lord Jesus, he sent his only begotten Son into this world to save his people from their sins, as he stood in their room and place. He's rendered unto them double for all her sins. What a blessing that is. And you see, as it's addressed to poor, troubled, distressed souls, it's these truths that these souls feel to need of, they feel their need of. It's these blessings they truly hunger and thirst after. And that word goes on throughout this chapter. It speaks of God's mighty power as he created the world. You read the nations are as a drop, as a bucket. And yet, despite the greatness of this God, our God, we read this so beautifully, simply described. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We have just been singing of it, haven't we? Did it touch a chord in your heart? Did it give to you a softened spirit that this great God should so condescend to look upon wretched sinners and to deal with them so mercifully, so kindly? He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and lead, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now we come to the word of our text, because this word is central to this chapter and these precious truths contained in it. Because you see, in this word is a loving reproof to the Lord's people, the tried people, the tempted people, those who feel to be far off, those who feel to be desolate and destitute. He says this: Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You see, Israel was in a low state, wasn't she? She couldn't see her evidences. Everything was being brought into question. And do we not know some of those times, my dear friend, as we journey through this wilderness here below, when we feel the power of sin within our own hearts? We feel our own insufficiency. We cannot keep ourselves. And we have a tempting adversary to our souls with his evil suggestions. And there's that struggle within with unbelief, carnal reason. And we are brought to that place, whether we wonder whether there's ever any good in us. That is what the Lord has done. There's no good in us by nature. But whether we really know anything of a work of grace in our hearts. Do we know these things? I believe the Lord's people come into these places. They come to self-examination as to the reality of their profession, the truth of what they know, that is, that which is revealed to them. The devil tells those characters, these characters, you know, it's all of your own imagination. Those words that you believed, the word that the Lord had spoken into your heart, it was all of your own imagination. It was all of your fancy. It so suited the frame of your mind at that time, and you took the word. Beloved friend, these are the evil suggestions the devil troubles the Lord's people with, and it distresses them, casts them down, burdens them. But beloved friend, let us remember this. The Lord's eye is upon each one of his dear people. He knows the paths that they walk in. He knows the distresses that his dear people feel, because those paths that he has appointed for them, they're appointed by him, and they're appointed by him that they're in his sovereign purposes concerning his dear people should be fulfilled. And there are those things that he'll cause his people to know. First of all, their great need, their spiritual poverty. But oh, it brings that one to the throne of grace, pleading that the Lord would remember them still in mercy, unworthy though they feel to be. Now, what a solemn place Israel was found in this word. What did she say? My way is hid from the Lord. The Lord does not regard the way I'm in, the trouble I'm passing through, the affliction which I feel in my body and certainly in my spirit. Those spiritual troubles the Lord's people know. Poor Israel came to this, my way is hid from the Lord. Perhaps you say, oh, what unbelief. Beloved friend, you know, sometimes that sin is so great in our hearts, our faith seems so low as to question whether we ever possess true living faith and whether we've ever possessed it. The trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And it is in that path the Lord is trying his dear people. Oh, you say, what a strange path wherein poor Israel here was doubting her God. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. What does that mean? It means this, that my case, my condition has been passed over. The Lord does not know it. The Lord is disregarding my condition. And we look within our own hearts, and what do we find? Sin in every part of our lives. We look back over one day and we see how many have been our sins and transgressions. And then the devil comes in and reminds us of those past sins, how great they are, those secret sins that we would not disclose to others, which are all in the light of God's countenance. And oh, how it tries that poor soul. You know, sometimes the devil tells the truth. He is a liar, but he sometimes does tell the truth to the Lord's people. And he tells them that what they are and reminds them of their sins. But his objective is this, to cast that one down that he might bring them to despair. But you know, these souls that walk in this path, the Lord is working in their hearts. He's showing to them a little of what is found within their heart and bringing them to the footstool of mercy. You know, there are several characters in God's word who've known this path. And those of you who've been brought into it, and you've been painful though it has been. Why, such a character was Job. He was a greatly favoured man. He had been blessed. And the Lord himself said that he There's none like his servant Job in the world. He was an upright and perfect man. But where did he come in all his afflictions? His family had been taken from him, his possessions removed, an affliction laid upon his body. His wife mocked him and said, "Curse God and die." And the Lord was hiding his face from poor Job. What a dejected state Job was in. He seemed to have nothing. We read this, and Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." And we find in another place, he had wished that he had never been born. Poor Job, how low he had become. But he was a child of God. And my dear friend, although his faith was severely tried, we do find in this book of Job sweet glimpses that faith remained in Job as he found, and he was given that confidence to declare, a gracious confidence, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Again, I know that my Redeemer liveth." And you, poor troubled soul tonight, you won't give up. You'll cry in your distress and trouble. And you know that time will come when the Lord will attend to your case, when he will visit your poor soul. We find other characters, don't we? Look in the book of Psalms. David knew it. Oh, what deep distress David knew it. Asaph knew it. What did he say in his distress and trouble? "Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath for God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy?" What a place poor Asaph was found in. And yet, you know, you go on reading through that chapter, and he was brought to rejoice in his Lord. Another character was Heman, the Ezraite. We find in Psalm 88, as he acknowledges, he said, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps." And he goes on, "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah, shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" These characters knew this same path of this character that we have before us in our text tonight. "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." My dear friend, that was an utter impossibility. But you know the places that the Lord brings his people into, the distresses they feel, sometimes brings us to utter words unadvisedly. And we are brought to see the error of those things that we have concluded as to the condition of our case before the Lord. Because there's one thing you'll find in Job, in Asaph, in Heman the Ezraite. He continued to pray, to cry unto his God, to appear in mercy for him. And beloved friend, if there are those here tonight who are walking in such a path, the Lord will appear. Because you see, this word goes on in the chapter. And he speaks to this character. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Oh, here is that one, feeling to be so weak, so feeble, that one had lost sight that if each one of his dear people, as they walk through this wilderness here below, they don't continue in their own strength, not in their own wisdom. That's a vital lesson each one will learn. They'll walk leaning upon their God, seeking that he alone would supply their need and grant to them his upholding grace continually right down to their journey's end. He giveth power to the faint. Are you fainting, my dear friend, tonight? Do you feel faint? Oh, you say the burden is so great. I don't feel able to continue any longer. Oh, the distress I feel. The painful that adversary to my soul tries and troubles me. I find, look within my own heart, all that I can see is sin and death and hell. But cry, you will, faint though you are, beloved friend, he'll strengthen you. He'll bring you forth in his time and in his way. For here we have the words of God himself, what he will do to fainting souls. He giveth power. Power to believe, power and strength to cry, power to plead on at the throne of grace, power to lay hold of the truths of the gospel, power to look to the dear Lord Jesus, the Saviour of poor, needy sinners. He giveth power to the faint, power to obey his commands, power and strength to walk in his ways. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Feeble and poor and weak you feel to be, seemingly coming to the end of everything. Exhausted, you feel, as your cries have ascended to God over many days, it may be months and years, and now you seem to be brought to a standstill as to whether the Lord has ever commence that good work in your heart, and you're about to be shown that the Lord has no favour toward you, and that you will end up in that place which you so fear and tremble at the prospect of it. That place where lost sinners go to when they leave this world. Dear friend, you know these fears are very real in a tried and tempted heart. But you know, the Lord knows it all. He knows all that is taking place in your heart. He's preparing you for a blessing. He's preparing, and he won't be long before he comes and visits your poor soul and grants you a sweet and blessed token of his love and mercy to you. For the emphasis this: even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Beloved friend, keep waiting. Keep praying. Keep pleading. Continue to wrestle with the Lord. He will come. Though the vision tarry, it will come. Wait for it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, beloved friend, as the Lord puts strength into your poor heart, as you cry to him and pour out your heart before him, as that strength flows into your poor heart, it emboldens you to cry and cry again, and until the Lord does appear. You see, this exercise of waiting, the Lord's people all know, it's the exercise of faith. And that faith will be tried in the paths the Lord's people are called to walk in. And why is it necessary? It is to winnow us. It's to deliver us from all that is false, all that is of the creature. Those secret refuges, those false resting places, resting perhaps in your profession, resting perhaps that you're a member of a church or an officer of the church. You see, dear friend, there's that secret pride in our poor hearts that we're all plagued with. And the Lord's going to deliver us from it. He's going to humble us and prove and show to us what is in our own hearts. But, beloved friend, as he's preparing that soul for that blessing will come. In his time and way, it's for us to wait upon him. It's for us to trust in him and to continue to look to him. For it is only through those precious truths of the gospel that has been set before these characters, that is set before these characters in the opening verses of this chapter. Here's the comfort. Here's the assurance. Here's the blessing in Christ and what he has done as he stood in your room and place and stead. Put away your sins forever. And now you are reconciled to a holy, holy God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will be brought out of their distresses. They will be delivered. The Lord will come again and visit your poor soul. He will come and speak a word into your heart, a word of comfort. And how that one values that comfort, that word, that as we have a glimpse through the promise maybe that is given of God's love and mercy to a poor, wretched sinner such as you feel to be. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh, the shalls and wills of the everlasting covenant. They're precious to the Lord's living family. Oh, if the Lord speaks a precious shall or will into your heart, I will and thou shalt. Beloved friend, here your faith can anchor. Your poor, feeble faith, you feel it to be. Anchor in that promise the Lord gave you perhaps many years ago. Now it seems to have been covered up. It's a cloud over it. It seems to be a great question mark in your poor heart as to the reality of it, as to whether the Lord really spoke to it to you. My dear friend, when the Lord sweetly renews your soul and speaks that word of comfort into your heart, then truly, my dear friend, you'll run in the way of his commandments. You'll bless him then. You'll praise him then. And oh, then your one desire will be to give him all the honour and all the glory. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Beloved friend, your way is not hid from the Lord. He knows your path. He knows your spiritual condition. He knows it far better than you and I know it ourselves. And our case and our condition, he knows every part of it, every aspect of it. And when his will has been accomplished in that path, that trouble, that distress you've been called to walk in, beloved friend, there will be a bringing forth, and there'll be that time when you'll bless him and seek to give him all the praise and all the glory. Well, I leave the word with you, my dear friend. I believe some of you know a little of this path, coming feelingly to the ends of the earth in your experience. Your poor heart seems to almost fail. Your religion seems to be so false. And when the Lord comes, oh, beloved friend, how blessed it will be. Well, I leave the word with you. It's a word of comfort, not to those who are comfortable in their religion. It's a word of comfort to distressed souls, troubled souls, burden souls. I speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Woodhouse a week on Friday, and there'll be a collection for the TBS that evening. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Thank you.
Lord, do bless thine own word, and pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been right, do cause to abide in our hearts, and come and seal the truth in our own hearts by thy dear Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies, and be with us through the remainder of our journeys here below, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.